Good morning and welcome to our reflections from the Western Heights Uniting Church. We acknowledge that this church stands and we meet in the land of the Wadawurrung. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. Our church is one that seeks to be a church that is loving God by sharing together, by partnering community and by sharing our faith. We want to extend, as a church, the love of God to all of creation. And so, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your shape, size, colour, sex, whatever, you're welcome at this place. We light a candle to remind ourselves that God is with us. The light of the world shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not put it out. Christ is the light of the world. The peace of the Lord be with you. We're going to listen to some music that sets the theme this morning. It's another Robin Mann one. We've had a few of them lately. And this one is called Father Welcomes All His Children. You'll get the hang of why this is our song today as we reflect on the scriptures. So enjoy. Our scripture reading this morning, and what I'm going to be basing my reflections around, comes from Mark chapter 10. So, here it is. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for to such as these the kingdom of heaven belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them. He blessed them. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Okay. There's two thoughts I want to bring to this, or two questions really. What does he mean when he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it? As a little child, what does that mean? Receive as a little child. And the other question, of course, is what is the kingdom of God? Now, we might think, oh, that's pretty straightforward. The kingdom of God is what is the kingdom of God? Now, one answer that I was given through my early days in very evangelical circles was that the kingdom of God is when we acknowledge Christ as king. In other words, he is sovereign, he is Lord. That's the kingdom of God. Hang on. There's a problem with that. God is only king because of my will. I mean, that's what's implied, that my will somehow or other limits what the kingdom of God is. That can't be right. Okay, it's a personal challenge that way, but there's something wrong with that idea. The kingdom of God is all of creation. The whole kit and caboodle of the cosmos, I would think. That's the kingdom of God. God is Lord. Doesn't just apply to you or me and our willingness to say, yes, I'll do it your way, Jesus. God is Lord. The maker, the creator of the cosmos, the one who is life, sovereign of all things, who holds me before time and after time, who was and is to come, who has no beginning and no end. That's the kingdom of God. And the reflections that we've been having through this season of creation, my argument has been that we do a terrible injustice to the whole concept of the kingdom of God if we think it's just about people. Because the creation story, God looks at each part of it and he sees that it's good. And yes, in the creation story, God gives to people a particular role. God says, I have made them in my image, male and female. But that doesn't mean that the only thing that God cares about is people. And it doesn't mean that we're the only thing that matters. And I think one of the huge problems that we've got on the earth today is that people regard the earth as something that's there for them, rather than understanding what the Genesis story puts forward, that we are there for the earth. It's a complete inversion of it. It isn't there for us to use and utilize for our benefit. We are there for the benefit of the rest. And that's why we've got this dexterity. That's why we've got these brains, these thoughts, this feeling within us that motivates us and empowers us. So, receiving the kingdom of God doesn't mean saying, yes, Jesus, I'll do it your way. receiving the kingdom of God means acknowledging that all of this is God's beloved domain. We have almost a viceroy sort of a job, a viceregal, which isn't something you normally say to Australians who really don't think much about the monarchy and people being born into privilege, but you know. We have a deputised role for God. He's given us a task to look after creation. That's the first part. Now the second part, the kingdom of God. The second part, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Now, you've probably sat through the same as I have, lots of sermons about that. What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God as a little child? Ideas that have kicked around in the stories I've listened to over the years have been, well, you know, a child is just trusting. Not always. Children do learn to be very careful about who they trust if their parents are good parents. And they learn who they can trust. The trust is complete, but they're very discerning about it sometimes. So it's not just an open-hearted trust. Children can be quite naive and they see things very simply. And sometimes that's been used as an excuse for a simplistic faith rather than a simple faith, and the two things are different. But maybe the issue here isn't about the child, how a child receives the kingdom of God with wide-eyed wonder. Maybe the meaning of the words is how we receive children. Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child. How do you receive a little child? What does that mean? My grandkids come round to see us. We look after them because our daughter works, her husband works, and we're the secondary prime caregivers for those children, and it's a terrific privilege, and we love it. I wonder if you've got this experience of having little kiddies that you love turn up at your door, and they run up the path, "Granddad, Nana," and your heart just goes boom, 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 boom. You want to give them a hug, cuddle. So lovely to see them. I was talking to a young mum the other day and she said, you know, I imagined having children when I was younger and I had an imagination of what they'd be like, but I never could have imagined that they'd be as beautiful as my children are. Isn't that lovely? Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child. What do you do with that little child? You nurture it. You care for it. You love it. You want it to develop. You open your heart and your arms to it. You use all of your intelligence to try and help that child to grow and become everything it can. You love it with an unconditional and a helpless love. There's a lovely story in What's So Amazing About Grace. It's a book that I read some time ago. It's quite a lovely book. And in it, the author tells a story about his teenage daughter who had gone off the rails and was doing some pretty stupid things. And as he and his wife were trying to curb some of those stupid things she was doing for her own sake, she was reacting with rebellion and anger and staying out late at nights, coming in early in the morning, and sometimes just walking in and shouting at her father, "I hate you." Terribly hard to deal with. And he writes in there, "And yet despite all this," he said, "my heart broke for her, and I was nothing but a lovesick father who wanted to take her up in my arms and just tell her I loved her." Except you receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, you can't enter it. Now, that sounds like it could be a prohibitive, mean thing for God to say. But think about who is God. God is love, says St. Paul, says St. John. God is love. And you cannot be in the kingdom of God if it isn't a place that is full of love. God doesn't chuck us out of the kingdom. We choose sometimes to exit ourselves in heart and mind from that place. I think we are called to love our world, to really love it, to care for it, to nurture it, to want the absolute best for it. Not for me and the ones that are like me. That's tribalism. That has them out there, us and them. That's dualistic thinking. But God is whole thinking, the whole world, the whole universe. And to be a part of that, we need to love it. And the best metaphor Jesus can use is the metaphor of his love for those little children. And then he picks them up, and he puts them on his knee, and he blesses them. Except you receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, you cannot enter it. And he picks them up, and he blesses them in love. Amen. And may you be blessed with the love of God. Thank you.